back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Wednesday, March 5th. It is Ash Wednesday. And joining me in the studio this morning is our special guest, Reverend Dr. Daniel Harmelink. He's the new executive director of Concordia Historical Institute. Good morning, Dr. Harmelink.
Good morning, Andy. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. Thanks for being our guest this morning.
It's a pleasure to be here on Ash Wednesday.
Now, you were recently installed as the executive director of Concordia Historical Institute. Tell us a little bit about your background. What were you doing before you came to Concordia Historical Institute?
Well, it'd probably take a few hours to go through it all, but I've got a kind of a wide variety as far as experiences in the past. I grew up in Michigan as a graphic artist, did that for 8 years, and then everything was transitioning to computer, to CAD/CAM. So I thought, well, how am I going to be creative with a mouse? So I basically gave that up and went to Christ College Irvine, one of the Lutheran schools out in California, pursuing social work. That I was encouraged by people to think about church work. I said, no way, not for me. But that continued. So I thought about becoming a pastor. Met my wife. She's from Japan. Spent some time teaching American culture in Japan. And then came to St. Louis for 4 years to become a pastor. Took a call to Huntington Beach, California. That's Surf City, USA. That's called paradise. They're enjoying beautiful weather right now instead of freezing winter. Was there for 17 years and then received a call to come to St. Louis and help move Lutheran history forward here at CHI. So a new challenge, new direction in my life.
Very good. Now, moving history forward. Now, is that your new slogan for Concordia Historical Institute?
That's one of many I have. Unfortunately, I think the slogan for some people is that other building on the St. Louis Seminary campus. So we're trying to move that around and get the word out that CHI is not only alive, but we're up for the challenge.
What does Concordia Historical Institute do, just to get the record straight for everybody?
Right. Well, it's kind of a weird duck. It's officially a department of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, so it's the official department of archives and history. So we have a big responsibility, and that is to collect, to preserve, to make available for research all of these papers and documents and artifacts of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod for the last, since 1847. So already when the Synod was formed, they made provisions for an archive. I mean, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod from the beginning has seen that history is a good thing. It's an important thing. So we're charged with that. That's our task, to keep these things available for the church and for the community. But it's also to get the word out, to share these treasures, not just to keep them in the basement.
Why is it important for us to maintain this history, to keep, to archive and preserve this history? What can we gain from this history?
Right. Well, we hear this all the time on KFUO and throughout the Lutheran Church that the Christianity is a historical religion. When it comes to other religions, if you disprove the historical evidence, it really doesn't make much difference for the religion. Christianity is different, right? So it's like creation, you know. God loves creation. He made it. And it's the same thing with history. We see in the ministry of Jesus, he took history seriously. Every time Christians confess the Apostles' Creed, they confess their history, right? When we say suffered under Pontius Pilate, that grounds our faith in history. So it's tough. I mean, in the United States today, there are a lot of people who want to just forget history, either their personal history or whatever. So, I mean, we just had a commemoration of the Civil War. You know, who knows the details about the Civil War today? So, I mean, history is important. And I always say I have a degree in anthropology, and in anthropology we always say the third generation tries to recover what the second generation threw away. So it's important to have these touchstones of the Christian faith and of God's redemption in history. It's not just a history of people doing great things, mm-hmm. but it's also God using sinful, weak, stumbling people, despite all that, to do his redeeming work. So this is one of the other charges of CHI, is to not only, you know, get the facts of people straight, but also to with the eyes of faith, see God's hand in all of that.
And how does CHI go about archiving and preserving this history so that the message of this redeeming God can be shared? What are some of the things that CHI does?
Well, for example, when a congregation, unfortunately, sometimes they close, right? And those congregations are charged. Any Christian congregation is charged with maintaining and preserving, for example, their baptismal records. These are legal documents. For example, when a church closes, these records need to be kept. So we're on the lookout. We actively want to receive those records and preserve them. If you come to CHI and you go into the archives, you need a winter coat because the temperature is kept low. We have volumes and volumes and volumes, for example, of film strips, movies, and things like that. Well, you know, they don't last very long. Mm-hmm. So the temperature's cool there, and the staff is not only keeping those in good shape, but indexing them, cataloging them, putting them into some order so that if someone calls, for example, wanting their baptismal record of their baptism in the Lutheran Church, we can help them find that. Things like that.
Sure. So maintaining those types of records from congregations and churches, what else would we find at Concordia Historical Institute?
There are journals, other printed materials, documents of some of the early church leaders of the Lutheran Church. We have artifacts too. So maybe some people have heard we have C.F.W. Walther's socks. So I don't know what in the long run what historical value they have, but again, these are ways that we can connect with the past, with not only the people of the past, but also their faith. And I think, again, you know, as a former graphic artist, we need to have written documents, but we also need visual things too. Mm-hmm. I mean, the church needs to use the arts in a God-pleasing way to encourage, especially young people, to, you know, rediscover the treasures of the church.
Looking through those in the last few weeks, looking through those archives and looking at the artifacts, I was going to ask you what's probably the most unique or unusual. You've already referenced the socks of C.F.W. Walther. Other treasures that you've found there at the archives or
We have things from church leaders, also professors, or also things from missionaries. So, for example, right now we're processing a whole collection of someone who is involved in writing and publishing Lutheran tracts about the Lutheran faith, about the Christian faith. And he would send these out to people for evangelism purposes around the world. Well, some people, again, didn't have U.S. currency. So we have in the archives, people would ask for tracts, gospel tracts, and send, it's like the barter system. They would send precious things that it's not money, but mm-hmm. it's something in exchange for, you know, asking to receive these tracts. So it's just amazing the variety and the richness of some of the things in these archives.
Hmm. So there really is a lot to learn from our history, it sounds like. where would we find Concordia Historical Institute? You mentioned at the seminary. What would we find at that location?
Right. The mailing address is 804 Seminary Place. So if you come off of Clayton Road, it's the first building on the left that you see as you come into the Concordia Seminary campus there.
Here in St. Louis.
In St. Louis, right. It's been there for years, and I think it was 1927 it was incorporated, and people, the archives used to just be in someone's office, you know, kind of in a box, and it's like, hey, we need to do more than this. So it's actually a dedicated building to properly, you know, responsibly preserve and have facilities to do research on these things.
What would you say is the oldest piece that you found so far?
Well, we go back. It's, you know, everything has a context.
Mm-hmm.
So the synod goes back to the Lutheran immigrants arriving in St. Louis in 1839. But we have other things that help explain why the Saxons came to America. So we have, for example, the Confessions of the Lutheran Church. We have publications of the Book of Concord that go back to, you know, 1580.
Wow.
So when the immigrants came, they brought printed volumes of Luther's works in German. So we have C.F.W. Walther's, you know, personal set of Luther's works. So, I mean, these are fragile things that need to be cared for properly. So there's some old stuff in it.
How much of the collection there is in German?
A lot of it. A lot of it is German. All the early things are in German. But you know, as the Missouri Synod continued to live in America, there was this shift. So it's interesting too to see how did these church leaders move from a German-speaking synod to an English-speaking synod. It's there. It's the documents are there.
I bet a lot of that would involve the English district of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, correct?
Right. The English district, again, it's not geographical. It's mm-hmm. These were the first congregations that began to function in the English language.
Very good. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, I'd like to hear about some of the other places that Concordia Historical Institute maintains for us as well.
Great.
So stick around for more His Time right here on Worldwide KFUO.
What does this mean? To many Lutherans in America, this one simple question brings to mind the days of confirmation classes, memorizing Luther's small catechism with the pastor. But did you know that the Holy Spirit continues to call thousands of people all around the world to faith in Him through this powerful little book translated into the languages of the people? Visit lhfmissions.org to learn how you can help the Lutheran Heritage Foundation deliver this book of the faith to new Christians worldwide.
Hi, I'm Andy Bates. Join me for the next Faith and Family, where we'll talk with experts and everyday people about topics pertinent to faithful family life. Listen to Faith and Family Live weekdays at 11 on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news, underwritten by Concordia University, Wisconsin.
What do I cherish? Precious moments watching Dad read to my little Eric. That's why I'm so grateful I insisted on an eye exam when I noticed him struggling with the words on the page. We found out Dad has age-related macular degeneration, or AMD. Luckily, the doctor caught it in time for treatment, so Dad can still read. Protect yourself and your loved ones. Call the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-254-6552 for a free packet on preventing and managing AMD. That's 1-800-254-6552.
God's Word. God's promises can be trusted even when things don't appear right for the moment. Life God's way means letting His design carry you through life, trusting that He's good, that He loves you, that He will take care of your life, even when you don't think life is the way you'd like it to be at the moment.
Pastor Gregory Seltz, this week on The Lutheran Hour.
Sundays at 12:30 and 5 p.m. on Worldwide KFUO.
Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Wednesday, March 5th, Ash Wednesday. We're talking with Reverend Dr. Daniel Harmelink. He's the Executive Director of Concordia Historical Institute. Before we went to break, Dr. Harmelink, we were talking about what you might find at the site at Concordia Seminary, at the main office there. And lots of the archives, lots of artifacts there. What else might visitors find at that location?
Right now, we're showing an exhibition of the Albrecht Dürer woodcuts. These are fantastic Reformation, Renaissance woodcuts. They're in pristine shape, and if you haven't seen those, it's worth a visit out. They're just in fantastic condition. And again, especially during Lent, maybe during this Lenten season, this is an appropriate time to contemplate the Lord's suffering, death, resurrection. And Albrecht Dürer does a fantastic job of portraying that in these woodcuts.
Well, very good. So you can certainly guests can visit the Concordia Historical Institute at right there on Seminary Place here in St. Louis. Other places that other sites that guests can visit to find out more about our history.
We also encourage people to come and see the Saxon Lutheran Memorial. This is in Frohna, in Perry County. And these are the actual log cabins that the Saxon immigrants built when they arrived here in the St. Louis area. They're the real deal. And especially for children, this is a fantastic place to actually get a taste of what pioneer life was. When the Saxons came, many didn't make it because of disease and the harshness of the winter. But God was with them. So the Saxon Lutheran Memorial in Frohna. Also in Friedensburg, we have the Hill of Peace Memorial, which is a church. They offer services on select times in the church year. Another congregation that has a rich and a very long history.
And the Saxon Lutheran Memorial, I know we'll be talking with the curator there in the coming weeks, in the coming months. We'll be talking about some of the events that are coming up there. I know they have some really big events at Saxon Lutheran Memorial throughout the year. So we'll be talking with the curator there, right, Linda, in the coming month. So Saxon Lutheran Memorial, Hill of Peace, all places where you can really walk around and take in the sights and the history there and just kind of breathe it all in, really.
Exactly. It's not just a book, you know, it's not just a picture book, but it's a living history. Correct.
What about publications? Does Concordia Historical Institute put out any publications?
Right. We offer a membership at CHI. $50 a year, and with that comes the publications. The Concordia Historical Institute Quarterly, this is the longest running publication or journal solely dedicated to Lutheran history in North America. It's an acclaimed journal, and we have different articles in here talking about Lutheran history. It really is a fantastic publication. We also have historical footnotes that also comes out four times a year. It's a little more on the surface level as far as articles go. If you're interested, if you have a connection with Lutheran history, these are fantastic ways to keep your study of history going.
Mm-hmm. Very good. And the speaking of Lutheran history, the website for Concordia Historical Institute is
www.lutheranhistory.org.
Very good. And there are some interesting things on there that you can check out. Great resources, including my favorite, Today in History. just a neat thing to look at. Not only is it educational, but it's kind of neat to look at it and go, oh, what happened today in history, and see what happened on this day throughout history, several different things.
Mm-hmm. We also have it's called Pieces of Our Past, and this can be emailed out on a regular basis to people. So we'd encourage you, give CHI a call, give us your email address, and we'll regularly send you. It's just a snippet. It's usually a photo and a short description of some of the treasures there at CHI.
I was just looking at the list. It looks like there are probably over 20 different events documented in this list of what happened on March 5th, today in March 5th. So go check it out, LutheranHistory.org, and check out the Today in History. Lots of interesting things there. Everything from 1179 all the way up to 1984. Interesting events. So it really is just a wealth of information, a wealth of history and knowledge, artifacts that we can gain, not only knowledge, but that can speak to who we are and what we are today. And all of it comes back to the redeeming work of Christ and how God has redeemed his people, the history of that history of redemption, and seeing it in the people that much of those who came here to the United States and settled here. During the break, you mentioned a collection that CHI has that's rather unique. What is that?
CHI also has a collection of Reformation coins and medals. Most people don't know that when it comes to themes of coins and medals, there are more coins and medals of Martin Luther and the Reformation than any other topic. Hands down. So I was talking to a curator in Wittenberg, Germany. He says he estimates that there are over 6,000 coins and medals of Martin Luther and the Reformation. So CHI, one of the professors at the seminary years ago, started a private collection, and then this was gifted to Concordia Historical Institute. So Concordia Historical Institute now has what I believe to be the most significant institutional collection of these coins and medals outside of Germany. And again, the great thing is they, in an artistic way, in medallic art, proclaim the gospel and God's grace that was evident in the time of the Reformation. So again, these can be used as teaching tools as they depict Luther and the Reformation.
If someone would like to do some research, what could they? They would contact Concordia Historical Institute and to do research and review some history or specific items, such as the items that you were just talking about.
Yeah, give us a call. With membership comes discounts as far as paying for the CHI staff to do some of the research for you. Some of it's very complicated. Sometimes it's in German. You need translation work done and things like that. But we would love to sit down and facilitate anyone who wants to dig deeper. I mean, we're all about that.
Digging deep in the history of the Lutherans.
Yeah, that's a metaphor. So don't bring your shovel.
Oh, okay. Now, there's another location, another site that Concordia Historical Institute operates, and that would be about, 20 feet below us?
That's here at the International Center on Kirkwood, right? This was put together years ago, and it's a self-guided tour, not only of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, but also you get an understanding of, again, the context of the Reformation. So even KFUO is featured in the IC Museum.
It is a nice way to walk through the history, and if you take your time to it through it, you can really learn a lot. There's a lot of information there, a lot of history all packed into that little space down there.
There is a lot there.
I guess it's not a little space. It's actually a pretty big space.
It's pretty. I mean, we don't have an oxygen mask at the end of it, but it is. There's plenty to think about, plenty to chew on after going through that museum. So again, some of the pieces, they're large pieces. They're pieces that we can't easily put on display at the other locations. So it's on permanent display here.
All right. Can I quiz you?
Sure.
What happened today in history in 1545?
1545. You got me.
The Council of Trent was called by Pope Paul III after lecturing Emperor Charles V for meddling in affairs of the church.
I'll go back and read some of the decrees of Council of the Trent. Council Trent. They basically said the Reformation, bad idea. Anyway, well, good. See, you know more about history than I do.
Well, I'm actually
at
just
least
using
for today.
The website. Yeah.
Right.
I could be really knowledgeable if I use this website today in history. Johann Jakob Wettstein in 1693 was a New Testament scholar and Arminian, born in Basel. He died later in 1754. But he was born in Basel that day. Do you know who Johann Jakob Wettstein is?
No. I don't think I'm related to him.
So. we could do some research. There's a project for today. Well, anything else about Concordia Historical Institute that you'd like to share today as we wrap up our time together?
Things are changing. People are doing research in new and exciting ways. So we have many projects. We have many irons in the fire. One of those is to get more digitized and available. Mm-hmm. It used to be, you know, if you wanted to do research, you have to pack up the car and drive to St. Louis and spend a couple of weeks. Well, that's not practical for a lot of people today. So we're trying to get the wheels moving as far as digitizing in a format that everyone can access. But again, with that, just digitizing everything, that's, you still have to find it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a high tech and also high touch. You need a good staff, and CHI staff is just fantastic. So they're there at the ready to help navigate people either digitally or just sitting down. You know, there's nothing better than sitting down with an old book.
So by making resources available digitally, It's kind of like Googleizing Lutheran history. What would we call that?
But I mean, you know, we have 2.7 million documents.
Wow.
At Concordia Historical Institute. I mean, how are you going to get through that? So, it has to be responsible. It has to be, you know, digitizing these and making them available in a way that people can get through. So it's a real challenge, but I think CHI is up for the task, and we'll be announcing some new and exciting things in the coming months.
For our listeners and for congregations, we've mentioned that, you know, if someone wants to do research, they can do that there. Mm-hmm. You mentioned briefly membership earlier, and that would include Concordia Historical Institute quarterly. What else, by becoming a member, how else does that benefit the church?
Well, again, you know, it takes financial resources to keep things going. We have an air conditioner unit that is plugged into the electrical grid. It takes staff equipment to catalog and to index. So with your membership, you're saying a good hearty amen, a good hearty yes to your belief in the history of the church. And also, I think for grandparents, for parents, CHI is going to be there for generations to come. That is our pledge. That's our charge, is to continue to make these available for generations to come.
Well, there you have it. There's a great birthday gift. Give the gift of history. Lutheran history. Well, thank you so much for being our guest, Reverend Dr. Daniel Harmelink, the Executive Director of Concordia Historical Institute. Thanks for being our guest today, Dr. Harmelink.
Blessings on the day.
Thank you. Yours as well, as we observe this Ash Wednesday. Coming up in just a little bit, we'll study the daily lectionary with Pastor Lynch from Grace Lutheran Church in Naples, Florida. I hope you can stick around, listeners, for that as we study the daily lectionary right here on His Time on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.